And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is Todd Nettleton, and he heads up the voice of the Martyrs Radio. He's the host. He's also the vice president of Voice of the Martyrs. And Todd, it's an honor to have you on with us today.
Well, thank you very much. I've been looking forward to our conversation.
Before we open the mic, I just got a note from you, a couple of suggestions we can talk about. There is one right away. It drew my attention to it. I know this is out of order, maybe, but you recently talked to somebody in Iran, an Iranian Christian leader. Can you share anything about that with our listeners today?
I can. I should clarify, he is an Iranian Christian leader. However, he was not in Iran at the time of our conversation.
Yeah.
So lots of chaos going on in Iran right now. The protests that began the week after Christmas are still going on. In fact, there is some talk that they will even ramp up in the next few days going into this weekend. One of the things that he confirmed that I kind of suspected but hadn't heard any kind of confirmation, at least 8 Iranian Christians have been killed in the violence, in the protests there. Now, it is possible that thousands of Iranians have been killed, and so that number is likely to go up. But at this point, we know of at least 8 Christians who have been killed in those protests, and it is just really a key time to pray for Iran. And one of the things that I always encourage American Christians to understand is the government of Iran is Islam. It is the mullahs. They are, you know, it was an Islamic revolution, and it put the mullahs in charge of the government. And so for 45 years, they have said, we are running our country according to the Quran. We're running our country according to Islamic principles.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see thousands of people out in the streets saying, down with our government, we hate our government, what they are also saying is Islam doesn't work. We have given up on Islam.
So true.
And so this is a really key strategic spiritual time in the history
yes.
of Iran, because so many Iranians, they don't believe Islam anymore. Now, maybe they've become atheists. Maybe they've become Christians. Maybe they just are seeking something else. But when they say the government doesn't work, the government is corrupt, they are saying Islam doesn't work, Islam is corrupt, and so we need to pray for the gospel advance in the midst of all the chaos and all the upheaval that's going on.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. In some ways, it's encouraging to see this, even though it can be terribly dangerous for the people, as you've already shared with us. Some Christians we know have died. How was your friend? Were they holding up, he or she?
You know, they are encouraged by the fact that God is at work, but certainly they're concerned. They're concerned
yeah.
about Iran. They're concerned about, you know, friends, people they know, people they love that are in danger. And so it's a difficult time. And one of the other things that he shared is Christians are always targeted in Iran. And so when there is something like this, where thousands of people are getting arrested,
mm-hmm.
Christians are some of the first to go, because
right.
they've already been targeted beforehand, and sort of now the government has an excuse. It's like, hey, nobody's going to notice if we grab that pastor because we're arresting thousands of people. So that was a concern as well, is just like how is this affecting the church? How is it affecting especially pastors, especially leaders?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, just such a strategic time to pray for the nation of Iran.
You mention a lot of prayer requests on your broadcast, and some people might say, oh, well, it's just another prayer request. But God really does answer prayer, doesn't he?
He absolutely does. And you know, as we think about the possibility, and I'm not in the geopolitics prediction business, but even the possibility that Iran could have a different power structure, a different government a year from now, just think about how that could echo through the Middle East and how that could change the situation for so many Christian
Amen.
Brothers and sisters. And, you know, who turned that nation into a missionary sending nation. Why wouldn't we want to pray for that? Why wouldn't we be energized to pray for Iran and to pray for God to move and to bring good out of this chaos? And there is suffering going on. There are families who've lost loved ones. There are people in jail who are suffering. Lord, please bring good Amen. Out of the suffering that's happening in Iran.
The apostle wrote about rulers, and what the Lord wants for them is that they are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And he says, do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. That's the kind of leadership we pray all over the world, and in particular now for Iran. There's a possibility of a change, and there's a possibility of seeing a godly, or at least an alternative to Islam, and hopefully a godly one.
Amen.
Well, today we're talking with Todd Nettleton, and you hear him, dear listener, on the Voice of the Martyrs radio. We carry that on a Sunday afternoon. You have a prayer guide. Let me just jump to that really quick. Can you describe that for our listeners, Todd?
Yeah, the prayer guide, the annual global prayer guide from the Voice of the Martyrs, the brand new 2026 edition, has just been released this month, and it is what the title says it is. It is a prayer guide,
yeah.
And the goal is to equip people to pray. The first thing persecuted Christians ask us to do is to pray for them, and so the prayer guide is a tool to help us answer what they've asked us to do. And the reason for it is, you know, it's easy to say, God bless persecuted Christians, and that is a fantastic prayer, but it's also easy to not stay motivated to say that every day. And
yes.
So the prayer guide gives you some more specific information so that you can pray more specific prayers. And it looks at the 70-plus countries where Christians are persecuted and just describes, well, you know, who are the persecutors in that country? Is it the government? Is it some terrorist group? Is it maybe your family members who are opposed to you when you become a follower of Christ? What does it look like to be a Christian? How hard is it to get a Bible? Is there above-ground churches or only underground churches? What kind of situation do our brothers and sisters in that country face? And again, the goal of that is, at the end of that, you can pray very specifically for those brothers and sisters in Iran or China or North Korea or Nigeria, because you have a better understanding of what their lives are like and what their challenges are. And we make this available, and we've actually got a web address where you can get one free. Normally we say, hey, you make a donation to VOM, we'll send you this. If you follow this link, it is free. You just give us your name and address. We will send you a copy of the new Global Prayer Guide. That address is persecution.com/Todd, and I apologize for the URL, but persecution.com/Todd, T-O-D-D, and like I say, you don't have to make a donation. We will send you a free copy of this guide, and I hope you'll put it beside your Bible. I hope you'll put it in your prayer closet, and throughout 2026, you can pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters, because, again, remember, that's the first thing they want you to do. Not feel sorry for them, not send them money even. The first thing they want you to do is to pray for them.
Amen. Amen. You mentioned that the biggest quote-unquote news for this year's guide is the increase of persecution in Latin America. Could you touch on that just really brief?
Yeah, one of the countries, as we were working on creating this prayer guide, Nicaragua is a restricted nation. And I honestly, when I looked at that, I'm like, is that a typo? Like, Nicaragua, that's like just down the road from here. Like, that's in our hemisphere. And I sat down with our field leader for Nicaragua, and the stories he told me about spies being present in every church service
who are
reporting back to the government what is said, pastors being put in prison, technology that they buy from China being used to digitally monitor pastors and watch what they're doing. Even pastors who have left the country, like to attend a training seminar, and when they tried to come back to Nicaragua, their citizenship had been canceled. And so they got to the airport and they said, oh, yeah, you're not a citizen here anymore. And they're like, wait a minute, I was born here. I've lived here my whole life.
Right.
Nope, your citizenship was canceled. Well, then where do you go? You're not a citizen of any other country, so you don't have any place to go to, but you can't come home either. And so that level of persecution, and honestly, like I say, I was floored by it because I'm like, if you told me that story and it was China, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that sounds right. If you said North Korea, yeah, that sounds right. But mm-hmm. you say Nicaragua, and I'm like, wait a minute.
That's a good point.
How could that be?
Yeah, that's a good point. You just mentioned China, and on at least my radar screen is the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, for short. And they're not a good group, and they're against Christianity. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on in China?
There are some very concerning things that we have seen, even in the last like 3 months in China. We have seen large church networks, all of their leaders being picked up in like a 24-hour period. And sometimes that's across dear. Multiple cities. You'll have every single leader, every staff member at a large church being arrested and detained by the police. The other thing that has happened in China, and this goes back a little farther, about the last 2 years, all of the charges against church leaders have been not religious charges, not illegal religious gatherings or undermining state security. Some of the things we've seen pastors charged with before, all the charges right now are financial charges. They're being charged with fraud or illegal business practices. Hmm. And I'm not a fan of giving compliments to the Chinese government, but this is a brilliant strategy on their part because as a pastor, it is almost impossible to defend yourself against these charges. And here's why that is. They will come and say, well, you were collecting money from people for a nonprofit organization that doesn't exist. Hmm. And you say, well, yeah, it does exist. It's our church. We meet every Sunday. Well, oh, if you have a church, where's your license? Where's your registration documents?
Yes.
Oh, we don't have registration documents. You won't give us registration documents. So because of you're not registered, you cannot get government approval to be a church. So you can't start a bank account. You can't do anything legally, paperwork-wise, to show that you have a church. You can't rent a building. And so the government comes in and says, you're collecting money for a church that doesn't exist. And you cannot defend yourself against that. There's no documentation to say, yes, my church does exist. And then the other side of that coin, and again, I hate to say this, but it is brilliant by the Chinese government. If you or I call the Chinese embassy and say, hey, why have you arrested this pastor? Why are you persecuting Christians? They will say, oh, no. This has nothing to do with religion. We are cracking down on fraud in our country. You don't want Chinese citizens to be ripped off by charlatans who claim to be representing a charity that doesn't even exist.
Yes.
We're cracking down on fraud. This is nothing to do with religion. And so they can hide the fact that they're persecuting Christians.
Yes.
And the Christians have really zero chance of defending themselves. It is a very difficult situation right now. And like I say, for about the last 2 years, a little over 2 years now, all of the church leaders that have been arrested have been charged with these financial crimes, not with religious crimes.
Wow. This reminds me of something I heard some time ago, that the CCP likes to use facial recognition, and they like to use their computers in order to identify you and to basically control you. And, you know, we're into technology here, but technology itself is not evil. What happens is when it's controlled by an evil heart. Can you talk to us a little bit about the heart of the matter?
Yeah, the technology that is being used in China is very intense. They have something like hundreds of millions of surveillance cameras spread around the country.
Oh.
And I have been told that the goal of the Chinese Communist authorities is to be able to locate and identify any person on Chinese soil in 3 seconds.
Wow.
So they flash a picture, and in 3 seconds, something comes up. I had a chance to talk to a pastor from China who said when the police came and detained him, they pulled out their phone and showed him, like, hundreds of pages of documentation of what he had been doing, who he had been with, where he had been. They had been monitoring this all through the technology that they have. And so when you think about gathering together with other believers, which is illegal, when you think about trying to deliver a Bible to someone in China where the cameras are watching you everywhere you go and where they can identify you in 3 seconds, the challenges right now of just doing simple sacramental things like believers meeting together.
Yes.
That is a monumental challenge in China. And the government is determined to close down the unregistered churches. They are determined to get control of religious expression in China and make sure that your priority of scripture, your priority of following Christ, comes under your priority of following the Communist Party. And,
yeah.
and so that battle for hearts and minds is going on, and it's intensifying as time goes on.
This makes it really rough for Christians who want to obey the Great Commission of our Lord, where you go into all the world, you spread the gospel, and with the result, you disciple the nations. It's like you can't get going when you're being monitored this way and being cast down.
It is. You're exactly right. Like if you think about every conversation, and you know, let me encourage you. One of the things that I did, I had a chance to talk to a Chinese house church pastor, and he is somebody who knows. You know, hey, I could be arrested. In fact, he said, you know, they will sometimes talk about it around the dinner table. Like, well, what would we do? He's trying to make sure his kids are ready, his wife is ready, and he said that he challenges his church, and he said especially the men in my church. He said, let's assume that the Chinese government is watching us in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure they see what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. Like if someone's going to monitor me, let's make sure that they see, hey, this is what a follower of Christ looks like. This is what he talks like. This is what he acts like.
Yeah.
This is how he treats his wife. This is how he treats his kids. If they're going to watch us, let's make sure that we are a billboard for Jesus
yeah.
Christ and that's what they're seeing.
That's a very good point. Today we're talking with Todd Nettleton, and he is the host of the Voice of the Martyrs Radio and also vice president of the organization. One more item here that you listed in your list concerns a court case that was apparently won in Malaysia. Can you tell us about that, Todd?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a good news, bad news story. So we'll start with the good news. So in November, and this story goes back, we're actually coming up on the 9th anniversary of the abduction of Pastor Raymond Koh in Malaysia. So February 2017, he was abducted off the streets, basically disappeared. Unfortunately for the government, for the police, a security camera captured the abduction. And so we have video of what happened. It involved five vehicles, 13 men, and took less than 40 seconds. And mm-hmm. 9 years later, Pastor Raymond Koh has never been seen or heard from. His car has never been found. It is like he disappeared. Well, his wife, Susanna, sued the government of Malaysia and sued members of the police force for the abduction of her husband. There was mm-hmm. a Human Rights Commission report that it was the special branch of the police, kind of their version of the CIA or the FBI. They were responsible for this abduction.
Wow.
In November, she won her case. And honestly, kind of earth-shattering. It was a huge victory for her. The judge said it was the police. He said it wasn't rogue officers off doing their own thing. They were acting under orders from their commanders. It was a police operation. That's what made Raymond disappear. And the most important part of the ruling, the damage award is going up $2,500 per day until Raymond Koh is located. So
wow.
until you explain what happened, this fine is going up $2,500 a day. Well, that was in November. That was a huge victory. That's the good news. Now let's get to the bad news. This week, an appeals judge has put a stay on that verdict. So the government immediately appealed against the case. This week, the government has won a victory in an appeals court. The judge put a stay. Here's the part, and I actually talked about this with a Mission Network News earlier this week, and mm-hmm. I got a text from Susanna actually last night after she saw the Mission Network News article, because part of this stay is that financial award, which is a very large amount of money, is now outstayed. So the government doesn't have to pay anything yet until this appeal is heard.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the part that Susanna is most upset about is the other part of the verdict was the judge ordered the police to reopen the investigation and to report back to him every 2 months how their progress is going.
Hmm.
Susanna said the stay also puts a hold on that. So the police are no longer required to investigate. They're no longer required to provide a report back to the original judge every 2 months. All of that is on hold while this stay is in place. And so She's this has never been about money for her. The whole point of this case from the beginning was, I want to know what happened to my husband, and I want to know if he's still alive or if he's dead or what happened. And so she is very frustrated, and in fact, already working on her lawyers appealing the stay to get things going, because she wants that investigation to continue.
Yeah. And her name is Susanna Koh, K-O-H, and the country is Malaysia. We've got maybe 5 minutes left. Today we're talking with Todd Nettleton. You can hear him on Voice of the Martyrs. I believe we air it Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd have to look at the program guide, but I believe that's it. And it's a wonderful program. And, Todd, people might say, well, I don't want to hear about all this stuff, all this persecution, but, how does God work through the persecution, Todd?
Let's go back to Iran for a second as I answer that question. I mentioned the fact that Iranian Revolution, 1979, the Islamic Revolution, the mullahs take charge. As the people of Iran grew more and more frustrated with their government, and therefore more and more frustrated with Iran, with Islam, Iran became the site of the fastest growing church in the world because so many people were coming to faith in Christ because they looked at their government, and again, it is Islam, and they said, I don't want that. What are the other options? And so, and I think back to 1979, and I don't think too much back to it because I was 9 years old at the time, but I think of how many people must have thought, oh, the Islamic Revolution, the churches are being closed down. Mm-hmm. This is the worst thing that could happen for the church in Iran, for the gospel going forward in Iran. And I'm sure there was a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth of, well, this is terrible, and people throwing up their hands.
Yes.
And I sort of picture God kind of chuckling like, hey, just wait, man. Just wait. I'm going to bring something amazing out of this. And so that's what I would encourage people. And I think that's an encouragement for us in our country. That's an encouragement if we're going through a particularly difficult season.
Yeah.
Is you don't know. You don't know the rest of the story. You don't know how God is going to turn this around.
Yeah.
And my wife and I are reading through the Bible together again this year. And we've obviously, beginning of the year, we've just come through Genesis. And that amazing verse from Joseph where he says, what you intended for evil, God intended for good.
Amen.
We can look at Christians in northern Nigeria, in Iran, in China, in North Korea, and say to those governments, what you intended for evil, God is capable of turning it around and using it for good. And we've seen it happen. We know we're going to see it happen in the future. And so even as we see the hard stories, and some of them are very hard stories, but even as we see these hard stories, we have hope, and our brothers and sisters in those countries have hope, because God can turn what governments intend for evil, God can absolutely and will absolutely turn for his good and for the good of his kingdom.
No question. That's beautiful. Thank you for that. Todd Nettleton is the person we're talking with today. And Todd, again, your program, I just checked the log here. Yes, indeed, it is heard 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. And this Sunday, what are you going to be talking about for the broadcast this week?
This Sunday, we'll have the conversation I just had yesterday with our Iranian Christian friend.
Beautiful.
So this will be a really timely update on what's happening in Iran. And as you mentioned, we try to end every broadcast with, okay, how can we pray? And so I asked him, how do we pray for Iranian Christians right now? And so you will be equipped to pray very specific prayers, very timely prayers for what's happening in Iran when you listen to Voice of the Martyrs Radio this weekend.
That's beautiful. You can find Todd and his team online at vom.org. Did I get that right?
Yep, vom.org.
Todd, really quick, how did you ever get into all of this in 30 seconds or less?
30 seconds or less. The biggest turning point in my life that eventually led me down the road to Voice of the Martyrs was 1982. I was 12. My parents moved to Papua New Guinea and became missionaries, and so I got a taste of seeing God's people who don't look like me and don't talk like me, and yet they are my family. They are my brothers and sisters, and I am still inspired by that truth and want to help as many people as possible connect with our brothers and sisters around the world.
Well, Todd Nettleton is host of The Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Todd, may God bless you and your wife, your family, keep you safe, and we want to hear you on the air for many more years. God bless you, my dear brother.
Well, thank you very much. Have a great day.
And dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.